conference, which went very well, a gathering of over 400 and people from all different backgrounds just focusing and sharing together. And I did hear the story of one Christian lady who attended such a conference. And it was the first time that she'd actually mixed with Christians from other denominations. And she actually enjoyed the differences, the benedictions at the end of services, that people looked at each other and spoke. They did the passing of the peace, which she'd never experienced before. And one word particularly just thrilled her heart. She'd never heard it before. And that was the Christians used this word, Maranatha, to encourage people's hearts. Maranatha. She'd never heard it. Maranatha. Which means, of course, the Lord is coming. It's an Aramaic word. The Lord is coming. Well, the next day, when she arrived back at her own church, she decided, I'll try one or two of these little newfound principles from other churches. But she got off to the wrong foot because she kept going around saying, Marijuana, dear brother, marijuana.
Let's all get high.
Well, the first Christians not only had language like Maranatha and Hallelujah that set them apart from their contemporaries, they also lived, they also practiced a lifestyle that marked them out as different, as distinct. And I want you to notice a couple of things. This passage naturally divides into two parts. Verses 23 to verse 31, we see the Christians praying. And then verse 32 to 37, we see the Christians sharing. So 23 to 31, the Christians praying. 32 to 37, the Christians sharing. Actually, as you read through the book of Acts, you soon discover the early church was a praying church. Over 30 times we're told that the church prayed together. And they were serious about praying. And in this first section, Christians praying together, there are five things I think it's worth pointing out when it comes to praying. Number one, who is praying? Did you notice that? Who is praying? Verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back, and here's the key expression, to their own people. They reported everything that had happened. And verse 24 said, when they heard this, it's their own people, raised their voices together to God in prayer. Hey, Peter and John went back to the other Christians. It didn't say they met together with the apostles and prayed. It literally reads their own, their friends. And I want to emphasize that. Years ago, I used to speak on Oak Hall holidays. And then I got married and my wife wouldn't let me go anymore. And I used to regularly go to Europe and we'd take a coach of 74 people from this country to Spain or to France or to Portugal. And it was great opportunities. It was a good holiday, but there was a Christian emphasis. At night we would meet together and we would have a time of Bible teaching, a time of celebration. And I remember on one of the holidays we met with a party in Otford Manor, which is in Kent. And as people got on the coach, I was asked to pray, as I was the invited speaker. Not everyone appreciated that at the time, but I was asked to pray for a safe journey, so I prayed. When we stopped after a few hours travelling and we were having some food, they said, Gordon, will you give grace? So I gave thanks for the food. And there was three or four occasions in that first 24 hours as we travelled from here to Spain or whatever, where I was asked to pray. And one of the puzzled holidaymakers came up to me and said, can I ask you a question? I said, of course you can. What is it? They said, are you a professional prayer? I said, no one else seems to pray. It's always you. And I said, well, I'm the guest speaker on the weekend. And I guess they feel I must be spiritual. So they're asking me to pray. But actually, anyone can pray just as well. Are you a professional prayer? And this is the point I want to make from verse 23. There were not professional prayers in the early church. All the people met together and everyone was valid and equal in the fact that they took the opportunity to pray. I did hear about a little girl who prayed this prayer the other day just before she went to bed. She said, God, please take care of mummy and daddy. And God, please take care of my brother Tommy. And Lord, please take care of Susie. And Lord, you better take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're in big trouble. Well, the simplicity of a child's prayer. Listen, this passage tells us there are no professional prayers. All of us as Christians need to pray together. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 5 minutes or 55 years. We all have the ability to pray. And have you ever noticed that there are different parts of the New Testament that list spiritual gifts? Some people can Bible teach. Some people are great at encouraging. Some people have pastoral gifts where they go and visit and comfort and encourage. There's a whole list of gifts that we can all do, but some people can do it better because they're gifted for it. But we never read in the New Testament of the gift of prayer. There isn't one. Prayer comes out of a desire that we want to talk to God, and it comes out of a discipline that we set time apart to talk to God. So prayer is a desire and a discipline. It is not a gift. And all of us are called to pray. And one of the great things about being in a local church is this. You don't have to struggle on your own. And let's be honest, most of us struggle with prayer. Hey, let me encourage you, if you haven't already, find a partner, someone in this church. You can say, look, I struggle with prayer. Can you pray for me today? Or can we meet up over coffee and just spend 10 minutes praying? Years ago, they introduced prayer triplets in the build-up to Mission England. Find two other people you can just meet up with and pray together. And it's a good thing for a church when people spontaneously find natural folks they link up with and say, can we just spend 10 minutes praying? Don't be a lone Christian. Find someone you can pray with. Or, of course, come along to the prayer opportunities at this church, to the house groups. There's a time when we meet together and we pray together. So create an opportunity or make the most of the opportunities that are there. The Christians prayed together. They went to their own. Secondly, did you notice when it was prayed? On their release. It was prayed during a period of opposition. Peter and John had been threatened by the religious leaders. Commanded in verse 18, not to speak, not to teach in the name of Jesus. They prayed in a time of opposition. You have to pray in times of opposition because otherwise you would just be crushed by it. We had an email this week from a church in Turkey. As you know, the last couple of years we've been in Turkey on holiday and we link up to a church in Antalya. They've just had 7 people baptized. And that was a great thrill. But it also said in the email, please pray. And it didn't give us his name, but one Turkish man in the fellowship. Just got himself a job after several years, simply driving. But in Turkey, on your application, your identity papers, it has your religion. And when he took his papers in for his day one of work, they read Christian. He went off to work. At the end of the day, they said, oh, don't come back. We don't employ Christians. And we're not paying you for your day's work. That's the opposition. And the email said this, that all the Turkish Christians face on a regular basis. Maybe their church is growing because of that opposition. Makes them strong. They meet together. They pray together. They weep together. Peter and John released from prison. And despite the opposition, they pray. They pray. That's their first reaction. Not anger, not self-pity. Aren't we getting a raw deal in life? That doesn't accomplish anything. They grasp the importance. Look, we are in a spiritual battle. We are preaching treason in the devil's kingdom. What else are we going to face in life but opposition to the Christian message? People aren't going to welcome us and pat us on the back. We're telling them they are wrong. They are living a wrong lifestyle. They are heading for a lost eternity. Of course we're going to rub people up. Of course it's going to be tough out there. That's why we need to pray together, to draw strength from God and from one another. I read this illustration last week that in America, northeastern cod is very popular, especially in the parts that are farthest from the northeast of America. A public demand has said, we like the cod over that part of the world, bring it to us. And so the ship has tried to, but it would lose its flavour in transportation. They tried various methods. They froze it very quickly after they caught it, but it didn't quite taste the same when it arrived. Then someone had the bright idea, well, let's catch the fish and we'll keep them alive in tanks on board the ship so that they're alive when we arrive at the destination and then we sell them. But again, the flavour deteriorated. Finally, the problem was solved by they caught them, they put them in the tanks, but in the tank they put live catfish, the enemy of cod. And that catfish would chase after those cod. And hey, during their times of transportation, they would swim as fast as they could. And it was the opposition in the tank that kept them fresh and preserved their flavour when they arrived at their destination. Now, each of us as Christians is in a tank of peculiar circumstances. And it can be painful to stay in that tank. But besides our situation, there are God-appointed catfish, whose job is there just to make sure that we're fresh, that we have flavour, that we're alive. Notice on this occasion, when this prayer was prayed, a time of persecution, a time of opposition. Here's the third thing. Did you notice who they prayed to? Verses 24 to 28. They prayed to God. You might say that's obvious. But did you notice they take 5 verses to tell God who he is, and they take 2 verses to tell God what they want? 5 verses to talk about who God is, 2 verses to ask of God what they want. And in those 5 verses, they identify God in 2 ways. First, in verse 24, they praise him that he is the creator of all things. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens, you made the earth, you made the sea, you made everything in it. There's a story told us of Isaac Newton, and he once made an elaborate clockwork model of the solar system. And someone remarked, wow, isn't that clever? It's quite magnificent. And Newton said, well, it's not as good as God. He made the real thing. And that's how they start their prayer. They remind their hearts, hey, we are facing opposition from authorities, but there's a higher authority. There is a greater authority. The one who made the heavens and the earth. The God of creation. And he is sovereign. His will shall be done. Even in the midst of opposition and persecution. And so really, as they praise God, as they focus on God, they are encouraging their own hearts. They could look at the religious leaders and see them as mountains. But when they look as God, they see the religious leaders as molehills. They're just simply inconveniences. They'll come, they'll go, but God will remain. So first of all, they focus on God of creation. Secondly, verse 27 to 28, they praise him because he alone is ruler of all. And they quote from the Old Testament, Psalm 2, verse 25 to 26. And they link an Old Testament quotation where people were opposing, were enemies of God and his anointed one. And they link it to Pontius Pilate and his collaboration with the Romans and the Jewish people in killing Jesus. And he says, Lord, people have always attacked. They've always killed your people when they do your work. And again, they remind their hearts, men might win the battle, but God will always win the war. Men might win the battle, but God will always win the war. I'm sure our friends in Turkey would say, even those who have laid down their lives haven't lost. They're in the presence of their Saviour. Far better. Far better. Men may seem to win the battle. God will always win the war. So, 5 verses focusing on God. 2 verses focusing on needs. What's the balance of our prayer life? Is it all, Lord, you've got to do... Is it all on the needs and not much about God? Maybe that's why we don't see our prayers answered and we struggle. Did you notice as well what was asked in verse 29 to 30? What was asked? Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They ask for courage in Jesus' name. Enable your servant to speak your word with boldness. Secondly, they say, God, can you do miraculous things? Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders. In other words, they're saying, God, work in this situation in a way which no one can ever doubt. You are at work. Work in this situation so that you vindicate the name of Jesus, the name they've rejected. Do great works in his name so that people will realize that he was right and they are wrong. And they pray that their enemies and their opponents of Jesus will see signs and wonders and discover the truth of who he is. Now, they don't just ask for signs and wonders. There's a balance in their prison. Their prayer is full of doctrine. Did you notice that? Verse 24, the doctrine of creation. Verse 25, they quote scripture, the doctrine of God's word, inspired scripture. Verse 28, God's sovereignty is mentioned. Their prayer is full of theology. Because when we focus on God and our theology is good and we're loving one another, God does work miraculously. And they said, Lord, give us signs. Of course, many folks want signs and wonders today. I haven't got a problem with that if they're real. And God does perform signs and wonders. But he works them his way. And I think the greatest sign, the greatest miracle God ever does is that of conversion. Leonard Ravenhill. And he would be a charismatic if he was here today. Great man of God. He used to say this, the greatest miracle God can perform today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world, make him holy, and then put him back in an unholy world and keep him holy. Hey, the power of a changed life. It's miraculous. Maybe we don't see the signs and the wonders because we don't face the persecution and we don't call upon God with the same intensity that these folks did. And did you know, fifthly, the results that followed? Verse 31, after they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting when the place shook? And me neither. I've been in a prayer meeting where we had to shake people awake, but I think that's slightly different, isn't it? In this prayer meeting, the very building shook with the power of God. Now that's praying. Jim Elliot, one of the five missionaries killed in the late 50s, during Operation Auca, when they went to the Wadonai people of Ecuador, and five missionaries speared to death in the Curiai River. And the whole world said, what a failure, what a waste of five young lives. Men may win the battle. God always wins the war. And out of that story, God raised up millions to the mission field. Because he's sovereign. He doesn't work according to our plans, but his way. But Jim Elliot, this great man of God who laid down his life, prayed this on one occasion in his diaries. He said, Lord, forgive me for being so ordinary while I claim to know such an extraordinary God. Those words bit into me at Christmas time when I read them. So ordinary when I got such an extraordinary God. But did you notice what the filling of the Spirit did? Yeah, he shook the building, but it didn't stay there. They, just like on Pentecost, when the Spirit came, it caused them to evangelize. They ran out and they preached on the day of Pentecost. And here again, when they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke the word of God boldly, courageously. Despite the fact they'd been warned, do not preach openly. They went out and they preached openly. And from my understanding of the book of Acts, whenever people get filled with the Spirit of God, they go out and do evangelism. The two are Siamese twins. So the first part of the prayer, they prayed together. The second part, only 2 points, don't panic. They shared together. Verse 32 to 35. John Piper says this. Two of the effects of believing in Jesus are that the heart is loosened in relationship to things and tightened in its relationship to people. Let me give you that again. John Piper said, the two effects of believing in Jesus, the heart is loosened in relationship to things and tightened in its relationship to people. And you will see that quotation visibly lived out in verses 32 to 35. Verse 32, all the believers, don't miss that word. One translation puts it this way, the company of those who believe. That's key to what happens in this story. Everything they do comes out of their faith in Jesus. It's spontaneous. They're not commanded by their leaders to sell their possessions. They do it because they think it's natural, it's right. This is what God wants us to do. And that's why in this church, we'll never command you to give this or do that. Hey, you've got to do what you think the Lord wants you to do. And if you love the Lord, he'll show you, he'll tell you. But there are two principles that come out of this passage that happen naturally. Number one, there was unity, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Maybe that's why we don't see miraculous things happen, because we're not of one heart and mind. When everyone wants their own agenda seen in the fellowship. Where there is unity, the Bible says, that's where God commands the blessing. When you come to faith in Jesus, you are united to brothers and sisters. 100 pianos, all tuned to the same fork, are automatically tuned to one another. They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard. Because these Christians were tuned to Jesus, they were of one heart and one mind. And if we're going to be united as a fellowship, we need to fall in love with Jesus, don't we? And get to know him better and better. Not just about him, that's important. That's why there's a great emphasis in the word at all our services. But it's not information that brings unity. It is the application of information. It's the application of truth that sets us free. They were unified. And then lastly, secondly, they were sharing, verse 32. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. The second effect of trusting in Jesus. First, the heart is tightened in relationship to other people. And second, the heart is loosened in relationship to things. Faith in Christ creates a bond of love to other people, and it cuts the bond of love to just things. And that's what these verses are all about. Pastor stood up in before his large congregation and he said this, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is we've got all the money we need for our building project. The bad news is it's still in your bank accounts. Hey, God has supplied all we need. So often we don't want to share it, do we? We don't want to share it. These Christians saw a need. And they met it. It's spontaneous. That's how it should be. And some new Christians, we kind of get embarrassed. I can remember being embarrassed when people would give me things and help me practically. And I was thinking, why? I hardly know you. But they did it because they saw a need and they had a love for Jesus. It should happen. Don't have to boast about it. We don't even have to let other folks know we're doing it. But if we see a need and we feel we ought to meet it, then let's meet it. Practically, they sold. They gave finance. But if you give something financially, it means you give of yourself as well, don't they? I'm sure they gave time to each other as well. Well, if we want to see God's power, if we want the place to shake, we need to be of one heart, one mind. It may mean times of opposition and persecution, but it will certainly mean times of calling upon the Lord individually and collectively in prayer. So this passage, the Christians praying, all of them, every Christian can know the power of prayer, and the Christians sharing, meeting needs spontaneously as they arose. Let's pray.